It's time for Ireland's only interactive podcast, the multi-award-winning Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. And we want to welcome back on board our most loyal show sponsor, and that is The Snail Box. Snail Box is a one-of-a-kind pub and restaurant at Kilmoon Cross, north of Ashburn in County Meath. It's a fantastic place. I love it. I eat there very regularly. During the summer, they have outdoor seating and it's very, very pleasant to sit outside. And the Snail Box is less than 10 minutes from Emerald Park, formerly known as Tato Park. And if you're bringing the kids to Tato Park during the summer, why not pop into the Snail Box for a bite to eat afterwards? It is well worth visiting. Great food, very friendly staff. It's just 20 minutes from the M50 and fun for all the family. It's more than just a dining spot. It is an experience. So I can't recommend the place enough. Pop in, have a bite to eat, say hello to Philip and all the staff in the Snail Box, and you will thoroughly enjoy it. So, what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? A man is recovering from his injuries after he was severely beaten and partially stripped in broad daylight in Talla on Saturday evening. Now, the shocking incident took place at Park Hill Road in Kilnamana at around 6 o'clock. It's understood the man, who is in his 40s and from India, was targeted by a group of young men over false allegations that he had acted improperly around children. Completely false. The victim was severely beaten and suffered a number of slash injuries to his face. His trousers were also removed during the horrific assault. And one lady who happened upon this incident took to social media over the weekend with a video that went viral and has been seen by tens of thousands of people since. And the video, for any of you who've seen the video, it's extremely touching. The lady herself is in tears in part of the video, telling the story of what happened to this man. And we're going to be talking to her in just a minute.
I just think she's so brave. I think we need more people like this. I watched the video twice and I was... I had loads of emotions.
Mm. Anger?
First of all, anger. First of all, pride. Pride for Jennifer herself, for actually doing that, because by doing that she knew she was going to get negativity as well. I think this woman is amazing, what she did. She's amazing for what she did, first of all, being a good citizen and for helping this man out. And then secondly, to publicise it online, because online, as you know, Jesus, we're doing this so long, we know online is just a murky world. Where, and I mean, some of the comments that we've already got in, now, we don't care, by the way. It's like water off a duck's back to us because we're doing this so long. But some of the comments that we got in, even because we're talking about this today, because there's certain people that don't want this being discussed. They don't want it being highlighted that the spread of false information led to this.
And now, you had to ban somebody off our Facebook page earlier on. What sorts of comments was that person making?
Threatening us.
Saying what?
Threatening us as well. Your days will come. We know where you are and all this. Get fucked is my action, if you pardon the French. But this is no surprise. I could literally take a photograph. This is how dangerous this is, and Jennifer will attest to this when she's talking to us. I could be walking down Francis Street, just for argument's sake, because I was there yesterday. I could be walking down Francis Street in Dublin this afternoon, yeah? I could literally take a photograph of a random foreign national, yeah? Dark skin. Who cares? Who cares where he's from? Dark skin. Take a photograph of him. Put it up on our page. Our page has 170,000 followers on it. Mostly nice people, but a lot of nasty people who we've been trying to get rid of. And I could put that photograph up on our Facebook page right now, and I could say, I was just walking down Francis Street with my daughter, and this dirty, smelly migrant, because that's the language these people use, this dirty, smelly migrant exposed himself to my child. I could say that. Put it up. And within 15 minutes, there would be hysteria. It'd be getting shared in WhatsApp groups, on Telegram, which is the platform they use, on Facebook. And that innocent person would be beaten to a pulp. That's how easy it is. It's scary. It's scary that people don't wait for... And that's what happens when you have mob rule. It always takes me back to the story that... about 10 years ago. Do you remember the story of the paediatrician that was beaten up in England? This is a true story. You can Google this. A paediatrician, and I can't remember what part of England he had his practice in, but whatever, say his name was Adrian Kennedy. And on the door, it said Adrian Kennedy paediatrician, which is a child doctor. And some gobshite who couldn't even speak proper English or learn English saw pedo and went in and got some of his mates to beat your man up. You're dealing with stupid, stupid people. And I know Jennifer didn't want to use the term animals to describe those individuals involved in that horrific beating in Kilimanjaro, but they're lower than animals, actually, because animals wouldn't do that. Shame on them.
Jennifer's going to be telling us what happened in just a second.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Jennifer, welcome to the Opinions Matter podcast. How are you?
Hi, Adrian. Hi, Jeremy. Thanks. I'm glad.
Now, firstly, well done on putting up that video on Saturday evening. I know you told me earlier that you recorded it, didn't even think twice about it, put it up on social media and went to bed. And you were obviously taken aback by how widespread, how much your video has been seen. So well done for doing that. Tell me what happened on Saturday evening. You were in your car travelling and you came across this incident. Describe it to me.
Yeah, so I was driving and I came upon the roundabout. So it wasn't actually on the roundabout. It was on the path beside the roundabout. And I saw a large group of teenagers, predominantly male teenagers, gathered around. I'd say there were 30. And then I kind of slowed down as I was going around the roundabout. So the incident would have been on my left-hand side as I was going around the roundabout. I saw one particular woman who was quite agitated. She was shouting and waving her arms. And then I saw the victim standing there. He was just standing. This woman was trying to keep the teenagers and other adults away from him. So I pulled over my car. I walked back to the incident and I said to her, "What's going on?" I said, she was very heightened, which I can understand. And she was like, "I'm trying to get these back from him," and blah, 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 blah. And I just turned to the man who was standing there bleeding with blood spurting from his forehead, completely drenched in blood. And that, to be honest, was the only thing that I noticed when I saw him. And I said to him, "Are you okay?" Obviously, a bit of a silly question, but I said, "Are you okay?" And he repeated over and over again, "My name is XYZ and I'm from India. My name is XYZ and I'm from India." And I said, and the lady then turned to me and she was like, "They're trying to attack him. They're trying to attack him. They're after beating him. And I said, "Okay, come with me." So I kind of guided him over towards my car, which was maybe 20 foot away, and sat him down on the grass verge beside it. And I kind of shouted around me, "Has anybody called an ambulance?" "No, no," was the answer. "No" was the answer from, I want to say, between 40 and 50 bystanders, be they teenagers, adults, men, women or children. "No" was the response. This incident clearly hadn't happened seconds ago. It had clearly happened a substantial period of time ago because he was completely, completely blood-soaked.
Okay, completely. So there was a large crowd there and nobody had called an ambulance.
Nobody had called an ambulance. So I took out my phone, I rang 999 as the man was sitting on the ground. There was another car of two young men in it. They were 20, 21 years of age. They were being helpful. They had kind of pulled the car up so that it was kind of blocking myself and the man from anybody coming over to us. And he said, "Look, we're not getting involved, but we'll stay with you so these don't attack you." And I said, "Thanks, I appreciate that." And I rang the ambulance. So it was only actually then that I realised that the man had no clothes on his bottom half. So I took a blanket belonging to one of my babies out of the car and draped that over him. And then I used, with the advice from the ambulance service, I had a pair of cycling shorts in the boot and I used that as compression on his forehead to stop the blood from spurting. It was a phenomenal amount of blood. It wasn't just like, you know, you knock your head in a football match and you're bleeding. Like, it was, he was bleeding to death, essentially. And I have no interest in being dramatic or exaggerating, but that was genuinely what was happening to this man. So I was partially aware of what was being still shouted from the crowd that was kind of the teenagers generally dispersed, and then there was a couple of adults. They were saying,
"Well, yeah, what sorts of things were they shouting?" So, and I'm very conscious that you're after coming across this scene. There's an angry mob there, and you you took care of this man in front of this angry mob, which is extremely brave of you to begin with. And what were they shouting?
So, like, first of all, I think it's important to kind of like normalize or humanize the people. They were just normal people, okay? So I don't want anybody to think like, you know, Kilimanjaro is actually a lovely area. It's a really, really nice area for people who don't know it. It's a settled area. There's quite a mature residency there. There's lovely creches. There's lovely parks. It's a really nice place. So these people weren't, you know, what we would consider a lower class, shouting racial slurs. Like, these people filled out mortgage applications at one point and are, you know, relatively educated people with jobs and cars and children. And they were shouting, he was wanking on the roundabout, he took his clothes off in the playground. There was like maybe three or four different variations of this. And like, I'm a pretty quick thinker, okay? And when you have four or five different variations and none of them match, you can kind of conclude quite quickly that maybe this isn't the entire truth of a situation. I also instinctively, and maybe like just based on an energy level, I wasn't afraid of the man when I approached him. There was no reason for me to be afraid of him. He was extremely submissive. His head was down. He was holding the front of his jacket, trying to cover himself. You couldn't actually see anything, by the way, at all, at any point. The man was blessed enough that his jacket was just long enough to cover his decency. So nothing was visible. But he was very submissive. He was clearly extremely shell-shocked with a massive head injury, but there was nothing intimidating or scary or dangerous for me in the situation as far as the man was concerned. So the lady who had been there before I arrived, she continued to kind of, you know, just leave it, get these people away and stuff like that. After we phoned the ambulance, which I didn't realise, the ambulance don't send the police, we had to go and make another phone call to the guards. And they came. And while we were waiting for the guards, I talked to this man and I asked him what happened. And he explained to me that he was walking from his home and he was going to Temple in Kingswood. This was like maybe 6:15, I want to say 6:20. And he was going to a service that was on at 6:45. And as he was walking through what the locals would call a gap, he was set upon by 8 to 10 teenagers. And I said to him, how old were they? And he said they were like maybe 15, 16 years of age. I said they punched him in the head. So when they did punch him in the head, which I'm sure they did, the ambulance, the police and myself, like both are kind of didn't tell him, but realised very quickly they slashed his head open. They didn't punch him. Do you know what I mean? They maybe used their fists with a knife between their knuckles, which I believe is quite common in attacks like this. But he had like a massive laceration that could not have physically been caused by blunt trauma. And then he was on the ground. So that was all that he actually remembered. And he said they took my clothes, they took my phone. He said they took any of my bank cards. And I said, okay. I said, you know, the ambulance is on the way. He gave me his address. He told me where he works. He told me how long he's been here. He told me about his wife and his daughter, his 11-month-old daughter in India. He continuously for the entire hour that we waited for the ambulance, thanked me, apologized, referred to me as ma'am. He was unbelievably brave. I cannot begin to imagine the pain that this man was in. And when the Garda arrived, so the public order van came, and I told them what had happened, there was actually another stabbing on Tala that they were split between. I'm not going to comment on it because I don't know if it was by the same people. I don't know if it was a race attack. I don't know what happened, but there was another stabbing. The public order told me that we're actually split between two stabbings at the minute. And they stayed and they waited for the ambulance, but they gave me gloves. So I was able to, I had my hand on his shoulder and I just consistently told him that it was okay, that I was so sorry that this happened to him, that everything was going to be okay. And then his head was falling forward because of the pain that he was in. So I used my hands just to hold up his chin so he was able to keep his head up to kind of prevent some of the bleeding getting too severe. Like, he was bleeding quite severely from his nose and stuff like that. And then the ambulance came and I spoke to the public order and I said, I don't think what these people are saying is true. I said, I've sat with this man. The police took about 30 minutes to get there. I said, I've sat with this man for 30 minutes. I said, and there is no mental health issue here. There is no, he is very, very conscious about keeping his decency with the blanket over him. I said, there is no aggression. There is no understanding of what's happening. As in, like, he wasn't saying, oh, I was only doing this and then this happened, you know. He had no explanation for what had happened. All he could tell me was I was walking and I was attacked.
So what is your belief as to what happened this particular man? You believe that false information, fake news, was...
I'm sorry for cutting across, Adrian. I'm just looking at some of the posts that were shared. This is obviously straight after the attack, and I'm looking at screenshots that are being sent to us from certain people's Instagram accounts. And there's one, I won't name the person who posted it, but this fella, who I just found out I have mutual friends with, this fella posted a photograph of the man standing there in his jacket, blood pouring out of him, and that's an animal, says the caption on it. So this mm-hmm. was being spread around on social media. You'd be surprised how quickly these things spread. Obviously jumping to conclusions, and as you say, in this case, it was the wrong conclusion.
So do you believe that there was... fake news being spread before this man was attacked? Is there anything to suggest?
No, so some teenagers actually came back, three young male teenagers came back who had saw him being physically attacked and gave an account to the police of what actually happened. So with that, with the video, with the screenshot that Jeremy has just mentioned, I have actually been able to piece the truth together, and not just, it's not a belief system, and I just want to focus on that. And it's actually a really unfortunate situation where, which is probably very rare, both sides are actually right, okay? Both sides are actually right in what they assumed, in what they saw, all right? Not in how they behaved, but in what they assumed and in what they saw. And the sequence of events is actually what has been detrimental to the situation and what has caused the mob mentality and what has caused the man to be further attacked after the initial attack. So as a man was walking through the gap, he was set upon by 8 to 10 youths, okay? Mm-hmm. And he was punched in the head, which led to two lacerations. He had his head drived into a lamppost 3 times. He was then on the ground and they physically kicked him and punched him. And they then took his shoes, which were flip-flops. They then took his trousers and they then took his underwear. They took his phone and they took his money. And took is the important word here, okay? So he wasn't actually stripped. His clothes were robbed from him. So his clothes were taken from him, taken, and the people, the children who did this to him, took the clothes from the crime scene with the phone that they robbed with everything else. So when this man came back around, completely blood-soaked, unconscious, half-naked, not by choice, on the ground, he stood up and walked back towards where there was what he assumed, a community of people who would help him. And he came out onto the road. So the roundabout that he came out onto and the playground is situated on the road at the edge of the park in this particular area. And those two places, the roundabout and the playground, are about 500 metres apart. And he proceeded to walk, which he would have previously walked, by the way, past that playground to get to where he was, walked back the route that he had came, obviously headed towards home. So the people in the playground who saw a man, very clearly not a white-skinned man, with no clothes on in the vicinity of a playground, were right. They did see that. What they didn't see was, and what would have been more evident had he have had white skin, was that he was soaked in blood, having been physically scarred for life and left for dead, beaten unprovoked by a gang of teenagers before that. So you couldn't see the blood all over his skin because his skin is very dark. And if there was blood all over me and I had no shorts on or no bottoms on, you would see red blood on my white skin.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
We're looking at the video right now. We'll play the audio from it of a second of him walking. He's in a daze. He doesn't know where he is. And there's a car driving by. The person who recorded this video says in the caption, it exposed itself to children. It got boxed all over the shop. Locals doing what is required.
Get the fuck out of this estate now. Get the fuck out.
And that was recorded by a man sitting in his car who...
Yeah,
obviously,
white van.
Yeah, who literally just drove by and saw that.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand you're driving by a roundabout or whatever and you see a man half naked walking up the road.
It doesn't. 100%.
It's not normal to see something like that. But Jesus, a bit of research would have found out that this man was
So the thing is, like, you know, let's use adult brains here, okay? Like, seriously, let's play devil's advocate and use adult brains. So finish what actually happened then was there was a huge amount of teenagers in the area. There was obviously adults and stuff like that. They then came over seeing this man undressed, not taking into account that he had very visibly been attacked, assumed he had been attacked because he was wearing no clothes, and jumped on that bandwagon. So then people from the local area, teenagers, people driving past, got out of their cars and approached this man and further attacked him while he was standing on the side of the street begging for help.
I can only imagine what was going through that man's mind.
It's beyond belief. That a man would be attacked and, as you said, physically assaulted, slashed with blades by your description, and he's left completely dazed, walking around looking for help, and then he gets attacked again.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
And
I don't
believe, by the way, I don't believe this. What happened represents the people of Kilnamana. I know people in Kilnamana. Some lovely people there. I don't even know if the gangs that attacked this fella happened to be from Kilnamana. We don't know where they're from. But are you from the? Are you actually from the area, Jennifer, yourself?
I live in Talla.
Okay. And was there ever, after you witnessed all this and traumatic events, was there ever a moment where you said, I better not put up a video? Or what made you put up the video in the first place? Was it pure shame at what had happened in your locality?
I think what made me put up the video was I live in an area where there has been an influx of immigrants coming in, they're housed, and Talla has been a hotspot for that recently. And stories that I have heard, and it's very important that I focus on the word stories because that is the truth. Stories that I have heard have put fear in me.
Yeah.
Have stopped me walking certain places, going for an evening walk.
And by the way, some of those stories, like we did an expose a couple of weeks ago on City West and heard some horrific stories of stuff going on there. So there are some truth to some of the stories. But the irony of this is, this gentleman who was beaten to a pulp by those scumbags, bottom feeders is all they are, actually has a full-time job. From what we believe, he works for Amazon. So the irony is that he probably on another day delivers to those scumbags, mothers and fathers, probably delivers to them as well. And this is how...
Well, actually, he's actually far more intelligent than that. This man has come from one of the highest credited universities in India, and he didn't come here for a better job. He was actually brought here by Amazon because he is so highly qualified in IT and what he does to better the Irish system. So there was no advantage for him to come here. Like, you know, lots of people do come here because they want better for themselves, they're better for their children, and we offer here.
But it was the company themselves that brought him to Ireland to put his skills to work in this country. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you believe, Jennifer, that there is a gang that have... blades and knuckle dusters that are the people that would have attacked this man for no reason?
So I this isn't me, like, you know, standing up pointing fingers at anybody. I think that's very important. Like, I'm a mom and I did something that has been deemed as brave and kind, but really what I did was just humanize somebody in a very, very vulnerable situation and help them as much as I could. So any information that maybe I said in the video about other people being attacked, anything like that, that information was actually given to me by the Garda. So that's repeated information that the Garda was standing there, the public order, you know, obviously we were conversing back and forth about the situation. That's the information that they gave me. So I'm not, you know, kind of making accusations or, you know, throwing around information that I heard of or I think is true or that emphasizes my story. That is just information repeated word for word that I was given, that these gangs are going around, the police say. And in 4 Indian men in 4 days have been attacked and facially stabbed, the police told me.
Oh my God, that is very, very scary. That is scary as, in fact, I've just gotten a message from an Indian woman who we're going to be talking to in a minute. And she said, as an Indian woman who's been living here for 3 years, the only thing I fear are teenagers. And that it appears that this man was initially attacked by a group of teenagers and beaten to within an inch of his life by teenagers who we believe are doing this a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, teenagers maybe, teenagers in our society have an awful reputation, God love them, and they're not all bad, you know, when they don't clean their bedrooms and they're, you know, cheeky little shits and they're sitting on corners and, you know, that for me is what teenagers kind of represent within our culture. Like, teenager doesn't have the most positive associations behind it, even from parents of teenagers. So I think actually what needs to be emphasized is not only are they teenagers, and again, this is information from the Garda, this is information from the innocent victim himself, but they're children, they're actual children. Their frontal lobes haven't developed. I don't believe that they are fully coherent in the actions that they are carrying out. But somewhere in their childhood, because that's what they're still in, they have learned that this knife culture, that this anger, that this lack of humanity, aggression is the answer. And they're the children of Irish people and they're the children of our neighbours and they're the children that go to school with our kids and they're the children that are going along on their bikes while we're in the playground. And that, I think, is important. You know, like, teenagers kind of, it makes them sound bad, you know. There's a lot of victims in this situation, the man who was attacked.
But Jennifer, this was just a mob. This was a mob that were fueled by fear and by missing.
Mm-hmm.
By
fear is a massive word.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But by fear and misinformation. And all they probably got was, probably got a message on, because it's all through Snapchat now as well, Kitty Fiddler down at the roundabouts. That's what they would have got. That's all they would have got. Kitty Fiddler down at the roundabouts. And without even looking into it, without even, you know, they don't know how to research things. All they see is one line in Snapchat and they go, let's get down there now and beat him up, let's get down there and beat him up. That's all they see. And I wouldn't use their age as an excuse, because people at that age know the difference between right and wrong. And as you said, there was probably weapons used in that attack. So that is scary to think. Well, we're not naive enough to think that teenagers don't go around carrying weapons. But This has been fueled by a lot of misinformation.
No. And misinformation like a comment that's just come in on our Facebook page a second ago. And I'm addressing this because you actually have the answer to this. Somebody posted on our Facebook, go back to the part of Amazon bringing in a workforce and housing them in iPass centres. This clown on our Facebook believes that this man is living in an iPass centre. And you know for a fact that he's not, because you actually went to where he lives.
Yeah, I've been into his home. I'm not going to give any sort of location, obviously.
The man's a professional, isn't he? He's a professional IT worker.
Oh, well, hold on. He's a professional, right? But he's actually living with a family who are here previous to him. So the family that he lives with have been here a year. And they said to him, come and stay with us. we live here, we know how hard the rent is, how hard accommodation is. So they said, come and stay with us until you get your feet. The man is here a week. And just to say that the family that he lives with are both professionals, and I can safely say that they are renting a beautiful apartment that I could not afford to rent. And it is paid for by themselves.
But again, that's the ignorance of some people. Like, they don't realise the majority...
Well, it's the assumption. Yeah. It's the assumption. And that's what's dangerous, is assumption. So we don't use our adult brains to think logically.
The majority of Indian people here are not in IPAS centres. They're either working here, they're students here, they are living here. And that's what I don't get. These people, I mean, some of the comments that came in, racist comments. So these people, when they're ordering their Indian takeaway at the weekend from their local Indian, when they ring up to order their chicken korma, do they say to the person, by the way, after you deliver my lovely chicken korma, go back to your own country? No, they don't, because you're nothing but two-faced cowards. That's all you are. Two-faced cowards.
The final thing I wanted to ask you, Jennifer, is you have gotten a bit of backlash for putting up your video, for leaving your video there.
Which, by the way, we completely admire. Fair play to you, because we know we've been on the receiving end of shit like this before, and there's a team of us. There's only you and your own. And I have to say, it's commendable how brave you are to actually leave that up in the face of, as Adrian says, of backlash. By the way, they're a small minority of people, Jennifer. Looking at the comments, the vast majority of the country actually applaud you for what you did.
If anybody has backlash for what I did, then we have a really big problem, because I just helped an injured man. Like, let's just take it down to very basic facts. I helped an injured man and got him into an ambulance. That's what I did. So I don't think the problem is what I did. I think the problem is what everybody else didn't do. What I done should never have been an exceptional act. It should never be commended as brave or kind or thanked. It should be the ordinary. And somewhere we lost that, and we have become a nation who are gripped in fear, who act on impulse and rumour, who allow other people to make our decisions for us, because we don't stop to think. If any of the adults in the situation yesterday had stopped to think how illogical their accusations were, then that man wouldn't have been half as injured as he was. The initial attack probably would have still taken place. But after that, that man never, ever should have suffered an ounce of pain. He should have been cradled and comforted by a community who were there as humans on a very, very human level to help an injured person. How did it make any sense that this man just didn't have any trousers on? And they were nowhere to be seen. So he lives like, let's say, just going to make up a number, a 20-minute walk from where he was. Mm. You're telling me he's been walking around for 20 minutes and... No. Somebody just saw him now.
But again, Jennifer, you're looking for logic out of these people. You don't get logic out of it. Can I just read that? And I know you don't want praise. We'd be here all day if we were to read out all the messages. But just to let you know, there is so much praise coming in for what you did. Kira's just been on. She says, Jennifer is an amazing lady for stopping and helping that poor man, but also for speaking out about it. Horrific story. And the thing is, there's a lot of whataboutry as well going on, saying, oh yeah, he was beaten up, but what about the immigrants that beat up, rape and so on and so forth? There's no need to say what about. This is about a simple, isolated case of a man being targeted because of misinformation. There's no what about. We all know that there's terrible things going on. We all know that every person coming into the country isn't safe, that some are unvetted and some are dangerous. But this is about this particular man who was transferred, like many of you have done. As Jennifer says, companies often transfer staff. I have friends who work for big multinational companies. They're transferred to Australia. There's one in Switzerland. There's one in New York. You get transferred. You're not, as Keith suggested, in a bloody IPAS centre. It's a transfer for work. The man is a professional. And they're two separate issues. So why can people just not condemn this and move on? Mm. Instead of, well, what about nothing? You know, what about nothing?
I have to tell you something, right? Okay, so one of the reasons at the time I made the video was, I'm a big believer, if you can change one person, then you've done something right, like, you know. And I won't name names, but there was a page, okay, a Facebook page yesterday that had been sent to me a couple of times highlighting the video of the innocent victim who was standing on the side of the road, the one that you spoke of there, Jeremy, where the car is driving by. That's it. That's the only video, by the way. That's it. That is it. there is no other video. There's rumours of lots of shit, but there's no other video. But it was of that video, and this particular page had posted, quite a big page, 150,000 followers on it, on Facebook, and the commentary underneath it was truly, truly disturbing, I suppose is the only word. I didn't really look at it too much. There's hundreds and hundreds of comments, and all disturbing comments. And this morning I went on to have a look to see if that, you know, what was happening and how far it had spread. And they had taken down that video and they had put up my video and they had made an apology and they had said that they were wrong, that they shouldn't have allowed that man to be accused of that. They had said that they would never let it happen again. And they had said that my video was the one that needed to be seen.
That says it all, really, doesn't it? And it just, it says it all about how people are so quick to assume stuff that they're seeing on social media is real, is credible. And in fact, I want to just play the audio from that video we were referring to a couple of minutes ago. Just have a listen to this.
Get the fuck out of this estate now. Get the fuck out.
There's a man who's actually pleading for help. You can hear him. And honestly, I despair. I absolutely despair as a fellow human being to think that somebody would see somebody covered in blood and say, get the fuck out. I mean, it leaves me speechless. It really does. And I'm sure you as well, Jennifer.
Yeah, like, he was so scared. And I think that's so... I don't know if anybody can imagine being in a foreign country and this happening to you, and then you like, let's say you're on holidays and you're attacked in an alleyway, and then you go out onto the shopping strip for, you know, passerbys to help you, and they continue to attack you. There's no comprehension there whatsoever. Like, the level of fear that he felt is, I'm ashamed that he felt fear like that in my community.
You know what annoys me as well about this particular page where that video is posted, has 41,000 followers or whatever. You would think in the light of finding out that this story is not what it seems to be, that they take it down. But it's all about clicks. It's all about clicks.
Jennifer, I have to say, and we said this at the very start, I absolutely admire your you putting that video up and leaving that video up, despite the fact that you've gotten some negativity. And I know some family have asked you to take it down or not to do it at all. But you believe that this is a story that has to be told and people need to wise up that, attacking innocent people for no reason is just not acceptable.
Yeah, I suppose my video, truth be told, is for the good people out there. You know, I'm not here to have a war with the racists. I'm not here to have a war with the people who attacked him. You know, like I said, I'm just a man, you know. But I am here to talk to the people who do want to believe that there is another option, that there is possibility that the truth is not always what they've heard, that without evidence, there isn't always truth behind these rumours, that maybe... sadly enough, there are crimes being committed in our country by our own that we don't want to believe are unjustified, that we don't want to believe our own are capable of, because we're so incredibly passionate about when people who are non-Irish commit these crimes. And I just think it's just as important to be as passionate about it when Irish people do, because at the end of the day, if you can't educate yourself enough to make a decision based on what you know as opposed to what you have heard, then you're part of the problem. And nobody wants to be part of a problem. When you're filled with anger and rage and all you want to do is lash out, you can't think straight and you can't make good decisions and you can't be a positive part of this planet. And my video was just to let people know that everything you hear isn't true, and look for the good. And if you find it, brilliant. And if you don't, let's find a solution to that as opposed to being filled with this anger and rage, because it's not solving anything.
Well done, you. Again, you have my absolute admiration for putting that video up, for highlighting this story, for speaking up for that man and letting the world know that an innocent man was attacked, and not to be jumping to conclusions in the way in which people have over the last couple of days. Jennifer, thank you very much indeed. And like Jeremy said, we could read messages out for the whole afternoon. People absolutely in awe of your bravery. In the face of that gang that were there when you happened upon the scene, and just well done, and I hope the video gets watched more and more and more, and it actually a penny drops in a few heads that you can get it wrong, basically, that there is good in a lot of people, and don't judge all books by the same cover.
Yeah, think for yourself and think logically and think smart. Don't just go at what the crowd is thinking, because it's not always right.
The problem is, a lot of these people, they haven't got one brain cell to bash against the other. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
But a lot of them do. Lot of them do. And a lot of them just need an opportunity to have a different opinion. And hopefully this video has given them that option.
Great to talk to you, Jennifer. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, Jennifer. Yeah. I mean, we need more Jennifers.
Bye.
Thanks. We need more Jennifers, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Fair play to her, absolutely. And I wish that man a speedy recovery. His injuries were very severe by the looks of it, and hopefully...
I mean, he must have been thinking. He's just walking down the road.
What the fuck is happening here?
What have I done to deserve this? Like,
you're listening to Opinions Matter.
It's the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Priyanka, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Priyanka?
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. It's just been quite a distressing weekend for all of us.
You yourself are from India, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And you're living here 3 years.
It's been a bit over 3 years. I came in just in the, in one of the waves of the pandemic, and just when we were opening up here all around. And I've worked as a journalist, and I'm here doing my PhD. And it's been lovely being here, except for how expensive a pint is. But these kind of news just make it quite distressing for everyone.
You said in your message that I read out earlier on that the one thing you fear here in Ireland is teenagers. Tell me why.
When I first arrived here, I was just like, ooh la la, I'm here by the sea. It's so lovely to be here. Oh, great, the sun is out. And I'm not a very tall woman. I'm just, just above 5 feet. So I'm quite short by Irish standards. And all of you Irish lads are quite tall. But the reason I say this is because there were these two kids who were just as tall as me, which means they're definitely kids, who just had the audacity to show me a middle finger and tell me, fuck off. And I've traveled to many countries, lived in many different countries. I'd never faced this kind of behavior from kids and teenagers. It was quite shocking. And because I'm a journalist and anthropologist, I just had that hat on and just wondered, what's this about? What's this audacity? Where is this coming from? And slowly, as I began to speak to my PhD cohort, they all would say the same thing. We're just scared of teenagers because of the way they behave. And you can't say much because, well, they're kids, and so they cannot be prosecuted. There is no hate speech law. So it is scary. I've had some kids throw some chocolate wrappers at me inside a bus. It's not violent, but at the same time, it's the audacity that says something about that, It's something that is quite shocking, and I see how they've been let down, perhaps. They come maybe from troubled homes, but they've been let down by the same government that has let down everyone. They're not being taken care of. And so people like me, who are brown and beautiful, we become the target. We become the face of everything that's problematic with the government.
And that's obviously what happened to that poor man the other night. That he was attacked literally for being brown, essentially. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
But even looking at some of the comments online as well, people are so stupid, they can't even differentiate. They're saying he was from Africa. He was black. I knew straight away when I saw the video of him. I said, there's a fair chance that man is Indian. They just want to hear different things. Like, it's scary. And even there's an assumption. And by the way, don't think that every single Irish person, or certainly teenagers, would behave towards you the way they have. They're just little dragged up scumbags.
I hear you. I hear you on that, and I really appreciate this. I really appreciate what Jennifer did and everyone else who says, you know, Cead Mila Folsha. But how many people who are not white are part of your friend's circle? How many people are these people whom you invite home, not just for a cup of tea, for a meal, without making it into a big event? So I love this whole thing of, you know, Ireland says welcome to everyone. But then on an everyday basis, we have to go beyond just these reactionary, you know, marches, which are like, you know, Ireland stands against racism, which is great and fantastic. But I've never been invited to an Irish home. I've never had people just say, let's come and have a cup of tea together. Let's go and watch a band together. I have loads of friends. So it's definitely the problem's not me, you know, but it is so insular. You know, you see it in academic institutions too. It's just about how do we have more people come in and just, you know, make Ireland diverse. But diversity is not just about DEI policies. It means this everyday work of like sitting with us together, breaking bread, you know, having mashed potatoes and biryani together. So I do believe that this is not the majority. This is perhaps 0.01%, even those big marches that we saw, which were so violent, you know, it just was scary for me, those past two marches. I've never seen something like this before. It's as big as like St. Paddy's marches. And it just made me wonder, these are people I'd encounter on a bus at the post office. And it just got me wondering, which side were you on that day? Were you on that side or this side? So, and then we all went back home, and I'm pretty sure they would have ordered a Chinese or an Indian, you know, after like going, yeah, you know, on the waving the Irish tricolour.
That's the irony of it. That is the irony of it. And there's so many Indian people as well working in our for the HSE. And I mean, when these people, when they get admitted to hospital, do they have the balls to turn around and say to a nurse or a doctor who may be from India, I don't want to be looked after by you? No, they don't. They
wouldn't say that. And on that day, at that, you know, anti-racist march in the counter demonstration, I carried a placard saying that do not let our common colonizers tactics divide us. We Curry people are great crack. And I said that as a way to make it funny and light. But the reality is that where are the everyday instances of fighting racism? And because we do not have enough people who look like me, brown and black and other people who are non-Irish, part of your friend circle, that you do not see the everyday diversity of Ireland taking place at homes, in your parties and all of those things. So I think it's important that while we fight this, and I'm so glad that the two of you are bringing this up, we have to look forward on how we repair this. And the way to repair this is to really go out and bring people home, invite home. You have this part of your culture, you know, you'd make music together, do it together with them. But I think there's a whole disconnect thinking that these are scumbags. Well, they have been let down by the same government that has let me down. And when housing is a crisis for everyone, and housing crisis does not discriminate up to a point, you know, and when you look at the healthcare, you know, the long queues at the hospital. So I think we have to really address what's happened, ensure that this case is investigated, that those guys are arrested and have been told what they've done is wrong, but not just be punished, but also be told why this is wrong. And this is not the Ireland that I came into. This is not the Ireland that we all know of, you know.
And can I ask you then, as an Indian woman yourself, the reaction to this assault on this man in Kilnamana within the Indian community, I'm sure, is one of absolute shock.
It is one of shock from what I've heard. I am someone who is Indian, but I've lived in many different cultures. So I do not believe that I have to only hang out with the Indians. So I'm not part of any significant majority Indian community. And I have my own different reasons for that. When I want to befriend you, I want to befriend you for who you are as a person and not because you're Irish and I'm Indian. Having said that, there is definitely a lot of scare and outrage and disappointment with what's going on. Everyone's scared. Everyone's like, do not go and live in the north side in Finglas. And I'm like, I come from India, you know, nothing can scare me off. But if kids and teenagers are scaring me off, there's something deeply problematic. And I'll give you an instance of what this has done to someone like I hadn't known about this instance, about this incident until late last night. And but yesterday evening, I was just walking down the street and a kid just about as high as I was walking down and like, tip her back, tip her back, tip her back. And I was instantly scared. I didn't know what he was talking about. And I just had my strong, you know, stern face on, and everyone around me, he was talking to everyone else and they all laughed and giggled. And then he's like, Miss, do you know hurling? I know what hurling is, but I had my guard up so high that I just couldn't respond. I just crossed the street and walked away. And much later on, I realized that Tipperary had won the championship. And what he was talking was that tip our back. And do you know about hurling? And I just sat and cried that I have lost the ability to actually smile and giggle and laugh at him, because my first instance was that he might attack me, he might hurl some
That is really sad to hear, I have to say, that you automatically have your backup.
This is not who I was. I've like traveled to El Salvador and reported there where kids who were being attracted by gangs have been attracted now by drums and, you know, radio stations and stuff like that, doing creative stuff. Where are those creative opportunities for these kids so that they don't have this teenage anger and just turn it on to people like us, but to actually do something with their lives, you know? So it's very sad what's happening. And please go and have a pint with someone who doesn't look like you and talk like you, but talk like me, because that's the only way of we can rebuild a 21st century Ireland that is diverse and in true essence, and not just, you know, in just colorful flags and colorful, you know, things during St. Paddy's Parade, I guess.
It's great advice, Priyanka. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the Opinions Matter podcast. And let's just wrap up
Do you want to address that comment that just came in from that absolute brain-dead moron?
Not really, but...
But this just proves anything... If anything proves the last hour conversation that we've just had is this gobshite Quaylon, who just commented on Facebook. Now, Quaylon is late to the party, but Quaylon just commented, and I can't see the comment, Amanda, sorry, because it's after flicking down the timeline, but he shouldn't have exposed himself. Play stupid games, get stupid prizes, or whatever he said. Now, Quaylon, if you actually rubbed your two brain cells together in harmony, you, and had listened to the first 45 minutes of this podcast, you would realise that the man's trousers were removed by the mob
that attacked
teenagers. Like, gee, but that's what you're dealing with. If someone
So Quaylon, you absolute numbskull, he wasn't exposing himself. So this is a gobshite now who still believes, hearing the whole story,
even after hearing the witness,
that he was exposing himself. He wasn't, you absolute numpty. Okay? Let me squeeze in just a few of your messages that have come in on this whole conversation. This is Keith.
It is terrible that that man got attacked. But look at the majority of the attacks out there. Like, it's foreign men who's exposed themselves or trying to, you know, I don't know, get kids' attention or whatever it is. I didn't see a video stating that the fella was guilty of doing anything. We all seen the aftermath of it, which was fucking horrible. I don't agree with that happening to anybody without solid fucking evidence. Well, in a civilized society, we don't agree with that. But, you know, without evidence, like, where was the proof that he done that? Now, he's no me. I'm fucking highly against the illegal migration coming into the country. I do know the government has a lot of blood in their hands. But I don't know. I need to see more proof on why he was attacked. Other than that, I can't really say if he did or he didn't deserve it. You know, sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Sorry, Keith, nobody deserves a beating like that, no matter what they've done. And this man did absolutely nothing. So nobody deserves a beating like that. We have a criminal justice system to deal with people breaking the law or behaving inappropriately, but he was neither of those things. Darren.
The scumbags who did that beating are not far right. They're just local scumbags. They don't have any political views or anything. They are not far right. They're just scumbags.
Jess.
I hope to God that those teenagers get what they have coming to them, but they won't, because they're teenagers and it never happens to them. But with a bit of hope, maybe they'll get a harsh judge and a harsh sentence for essentially murder. To be honest, you see these people going after fake allegations, but they won't go after the real predators where you can Google their records, didn't they, guess? Oh, absolute scumbags. I hope they get everything they have coming to them. Maybe we should beat them so Pope see how they fucking like it.
Robbie has been in touch.
This is similar to going back to other topics when we're dealing with teenagers, like hanging outside the shops or whatever. We need to be harsher on antisocial behaviour among teenagers. We need to reopen juvenile facilities. I've said before that mandatory army service would straighten them up very quickly. But nothing will change until we actually start dealing with that. These little fuckers will grow into adults, and then they'll have kids, and their kids will be just scumbags as well.
And finally, this message from Mo.
Fair play to Jennifer, and Priyanka said it all, everything that I'm thinking of saying. I'm scared of teenagers in Ireland, and I've lived in a lot of different countries, and I don't have the same feeling. Ireland's brand to the world is supposed to be welcoming to everyone, whatever they are, wherever they're from. But that's not what we're saying today. It's very scary. I love Ireland, but yeah, we need to really look at this, what's happening. Priyanka's a better speaker than I am. But she said it all.
Thank you, Mo, and you're not a bad speaker at all yourself. Thank you very much indeed for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. If you enjoyed it, please share it onto your own social media, this episode, just to get that message out there that that things like this happen, that people are being attacked for no reason whatsoever, and we're jumping on this bandwagon of believing everything we hear to be true when it's not necessarily true. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please hit subscribe or follow. If you're on Spotify, click on the little bell icon on Spotify beside this episode, and that way you'll be notified every time we upload a new episode. I'm Adrian, he's Jeremy. Thank you for listening to Opinions Matter, and we'll catch you on the next one.